Off the Ball, GAA.
But I remember it came to a question and they asked about how Limerick would win. And I was like, Limerick will work 110% and we'll outwork any team. And if you are working at 100%, we're working at 110, 120. We won't be outworked.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Yeah, I think it's a big moment.
The League of Ireland is live and exclusive again this Friday on Off the Ball.
There's still time here.
Last Friday night, the champions were battered by arch-rivals Bohemians.
Rovers haven't been good enough.
It was a late show, and to whom it may concern, Bradley's boys made sure this week's opponents were duly warned.
Aaron Green has made it 3-2, a game that was over.
Pretenders to the throne, Derry City came from behind to beat Waterford's with a couple of late ones themselves, and talisman Mikey Duffy struck again.
It's picked up by Mikey Duffy. Oh, he does really well.
On Friday, the Candy Stripes come to Dublin, looking to throw the gauntlet down to Rovers. Shamrock Rovers versus Derry City at Tallaght Stadium is live and exclusive on Off the Ball from 7 this Friday on News Talk and the Go Loud app.
League of Ireland on Off the Ball.
Now Di Stefano. There's always tenor when he moves. And it's 7-2. Oh, my goodness.
From the barrios of Buenos Aires to the roaring nights of Madrid, this episode traces the extraordinary journey of Alfredo Di Stefano, the visionary who redefined modern football. Born in Argentina, forged in the breakaway leagues of Colombia with Millonarios, and immortalized in Spain, he became the heartbeat of a dynasty. But what if the man they called La Saeta Rubia had taken a different path and gone to Real Madrid's biggest rivals, Barcelona? Find out on episode 6 of Richie McCormack's Sliding Doors podcast as to how European football could have been changed as we know it. Coming to you this Monday in your OTB football podcast feed for free.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Barry Geraghty, Cheltenham 2026 is upon us. What do you think the biggest storyline is for Cheltenham this year?
I'd say the quality of the racing. You know, the depth. The Gold Cup. I can't remember a Gold Cup as deep as it is. You know, you have the same for the Champion Hurdle potentially, albeit it might be a quality field. You know, it's really competitive. Supreme Novice, really strong as well. So, no, I think quality and competitiveness would be the thing that I'd be looking forward to.
What's your best Cheltenham moment, personally?
Your first winner is obviously your biggest moment when you, you know, as you come along, and then your first, you know, feature race success, if you like. And, you know, it just goes from there. But I suppose if I reflect back on my own time, you know, to get 5 winners here in my final year. So it was my last week as a jockey to ride 5 winners. That was, you know, to win a Champion Hurdle as well that week. That was, it meant so much, knowing I was finishing up soon after that. So it was, yeah, when I look back, a bit of recency bias, but yeah, I think 2020 was probably the one that stands out.
What about the best race you ever rode in here, in terms of quality?
Sure, I have a great finishes, you know, some tight ones. Riverside Theatre was all out to win the Ryanair. Cerro de Burley was similar to win a Portemps. Punjabi in the Champion Hurdle, you know. I suppose there's days when things just go right, small margins. Bobsworth and Champ, the two of those are very similar. So I suppose on a personal level, I'd say Bobsworth and Champ were the two that would have stood out because, you know, when you're under the pump, you can only do one thing, is keep squeezing. Now, you're always trying to save a little bit, you know, when you are off the bridle early, but both of those, you know, I knew turn for home, this was too early, and I waited and sat and just left them be and wait for them to come alive, and they did. So it paid dividends. So I suppose the two of those go into one category, and they're probably, yeah, the two that stand out.
What is the highlight to describe to somebody who has no idea what this is about?
Sure, whatever your sport is, whatever your thrill is, you know, if you're a, you know, Gaelic football or hurling in Croke Park is your moment, that's your place. this is the same for us, you know, if it's whatever sport you are, if you're Olympic Games, this is our Olympics, and, you know, to win a feature race on any of the days. But then you realise on Friday what the Gold Cup means. It's a different atmosphere, different energy from the time you arrive here on Friday morning. It's just different from the previous days. So to win a Gold Cup is, you know, that's the pinnacle.
You've done it a couple of times. When you entered Cheltenham for the first time to the day you left, what did you learn about riding around here?
Patience. And I learned it early. 99, Native Dara got caught by What's Up Boys in the Carl Hurdle. He was 12th jumping the last and he beat me a neck. That was a tough lesson. But Champ and Bob's were born on the back of that. So, you know, you learn most in defeat, and I learned a lot that day.
You probably wanted the earth to swallow you up, did you?
Oh, I did, yeah. It was tough, yeah, there's no doubt. But, you know, personally, my thing was always to learn from, you know, your mistakes. You know, there's no point dragging yourself over the coals and what you should have, could have, you know, address where you went wrong, how you do it differently, and change what you do in the future. And, you know, you apply that, then in the days, as I say, Bobsworth and Champ are they were the fruit that was born from that defeat.
And before that, you had maybe the horse to put you on the map here, Moscow Flyer. Like back in the day then, you used to bring the tricolour in. It was a different, I mean, we didn't have the success we have now.
Absolutely, yeah, I know. So like you had 3, 4, 5 winners, was a big meeting. So yeah, Moscow Flyer in 2002. So that was a magic day to win the Arkle. And he was a superstar. He'd been a very smart hurdler. He was Istabrak's biggest threat, if you like. They met 3 times, but only one finished on each occasion, with Istabrak hitting the deck twice and Moscow hitting the deck once. So he was a high-class horse, and, you know, I was very fortunate to have him at that stage of my career. And Jessica Harrington was a brilliant woman, both to train him and to guide me as well as a young upstart. But no, great days, and you know, one of the highlights as well of my time here was, you know, Moscow, and for Jesse and the Kearney family.
Constitution Hill, not running, probably a disappointment for you, Barry, obviously, with your association with the horse. How do you now look at the Champion Hurdle?
It's very open. You know, it's the new line, like, he looks very smart, but, you know, he beat Nemi online last day on trials day. You know, that wouldn't set the standard necessarily to win this race, but, you know, he's a horse who has a lot of potential, and he's probably untapped, if you like. Brighter Days Ahead put in great performance on Leprechaun the last day to beat Lossie Mouth. I think it's going to be interesting to see where Lossie Mouth goes. If she goes for the Mare's Hurdle, might be a reflection in her well-being, because I don't think we saw her at her best at the Dublin Racing Festival. But I think if they roll the dice for the Champion Hurdle, Willie Mullins might just expect a bigger performance than what we saw in Leprechaun. So I'm kind of waiting to see where the declarations go, but I think it could hinge on Lossie Mouth.
And if she does go, would you be going for her maybe?
I would. Okay. I would, yeah. I do too. I think that, you know, she didn't travel or didn't jump in Leopardstown. And even she travelled better behind Constitution Hill in Kempton the year before, on better ground. So she should have been outpaced more so at Kempton the year before than she was in Leopardstown this time. So I don't think she was on her A game at Leopardstown. So I'm curious to see which way they go. But I think if she turns up, she could be the one.
Is Madbury the one in the Champion Chase? His jumping fell apart in the Arkle last year, but it's much improved now given what we saw at Leopardstown last time.
Yeah, I think so. Marine National was his danger last year's champion. But I think he'd be very hard to beat. You know, Marine National, what he could produce on better ground was the only angle I could make against Majora. I think the cheap piece have made a big difference to him. Sharpened up his jump and just helped him concentrate on what he's doing. He looked really good in an episode. That wasn't very soft ground, but he has good form here. He was going to win the Arkle, only for that mistake at the second last. So I think he can overcome all those things, and he would be solid, I think, and hard to beat.
Arse's Gift was a horse that gave you a great day in the Stairs Hurdle. How do you see this one on Thursday?
That's another really deep race again. Like Tia Hoopoo, Bob Allinger clashing again. You know, it's a quality field. You know, it's tricky enough. The horse who really interests me though is Ballyburn. He was only beaten a whisker in the Hatton's Grace in Fairy House back in November. Disappointed then next time over Christmas behind Tia Hoopoo. But the vibes are good from the yard. You know, if he had have gone straight from the Hatton's Grace to Cheltenham, he could be nearly favoured for the Stairs Hurdle. So some question, will he get the trip? Now he has to prove that. He is a point-to-point winner, but that wouldn't obviously be at the same level as he would be here. but I think Ballyburn is the one of interest. He could be value in what is a very open race. Tia Hoop may be the one to beat. The more juices in the ground, the better, but they're talking about watering it for Thursday and Friday. So, you know, that's potentially going to work against Tia Hoop and throws it maybe back open a little bit.
Novice hurdlers, novice chasers, what do you like?
Mighty Park is he's the rage horse, if you like, but to do it on the back of just a maiden hurdle and pint to pint, that will take some performance. But you know what we're hearing is that he's capable of a performance like that, but you take it on trust. But great depth in the Supreme, obviously Old Park Star looks solid, but I think he's short enough in price when you look at the depth of the race. You know, Talk to Talk, El Kairos, their horses, you know, haven't really shown their full potential yet, I think. So it's a really open race. Kopeck the board then in the Arkle. I think he could be something special. He could be a baby sprinter sacra. Jumped really well in Navan, especially over the last three. He schooled really well at Punchestown and Ferial since, and in good company. So, you know, if you're trying to create a race environment, you put him in with seasoned handicappers and go a gallop. But go do it on a race day when you have a crowd, you have an atmosphere. You know, all of these things add to that experience. So, you know, albeit he doesn't have the experience on paper, I think he has enough in what he's done. Well, Chief beat Kicking King here 22 years ago. I think it was, or 23, maybe 22 years ago, in the Arkle. And that worked out a good race, obviously. I think this one could too, because I think La Lamba is a horse that might be better stepping up and trip.
What about the handicaps, anything there you like?
Oh, sure, look, a typical minefield. I think the English are strong on the handicaps. I think the handicapper has been, you know, I won't say lenient, but he's definitely been favourable with the penalties they've gotten. But lots of chance. I think Handstands is a horse in the Ultimate who could be well handicapped. Put Your Hands Together is probably worth keeping an eye out if he goes for the Bet MGM, and Work Ahead in the County Hurdle maybe.
The Bumper? Is it too difficult to work out for you? Once again, a lot of horses with potential, but
that's it. And but even for Willie to say what he said about
Love Danu, is it? Or
Love Danu, yeah.
If that's, I know it's something different to the name, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Love Sang Danu.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Willie's trained more bumper runners than anyone. And if he's highlighting one, it probably wasn't the deepest race he won, but you could take nothing away from the performance that he put in when winning it. But the thing that I took from it was that he moved well. He didn't win like a horse who was relishing those conditions. I think you could see improvement on him on better ground. He's not overly big. And the fact that Willie puts him as his one and has said that a few weeks ago, you know, it's tough to go against Willie.
Barry Garrity, 43 Cheltenham winners. You've had a brilliant career here. Do you have a nap for the festival and an each way for us?
Cut back to board is my nap. And my each way is Sober in the Turners.
The Racing Pod.
On Off the Ball.
With William Hill. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.